This is Day to Day. In a few minutes, the creators of 30-something say, forget TV, we're taking our new show online. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. First, the U.S. military restarts its tribunals for Guantanamo Bay terrorism detainees today. And the first case is a Canadian who's just 15 years old when he was captured. Dahlia Lithwick has been following the twists and turns of this case and of the Guantanamo situation as a whole. She's legal analyst for Slate.com and a regular here on Day to Day. Dahlia, welcome back. This detainee, Omar Khadr, he's 21 years old now. Who is he? Why is he at Guantanamo?
He was accused of throwing the grenade that killed an American soldier, Christopher Speer, in a firefight in Afghanistan. And if he, in fact, really goes to trial this time, it will be the first time a detainee at Guantanamo faces a real full trial under this military tribunal system that's been contested for years and years and years. The only conviction so far that's come out of the tribunals, as you'll recall, was the Australian David Hicks, but he didn't actually have a full trial. He arrived at a plea agreement. So this really is the sort of test run of a system that's been stopping and starting for years now.
Here's a little detail I read about Mr. Khadr. He's supposedly the son of an Al-Qaeda financier, which is how a 15-year-old Canadian might have gotten into Afghanistan in the first place. But anyway, this is his third time in front of a military tribunal since he was captured 5 years ago. What has happened to the first two trials?
Well, first he was charged in November 2005 and brought before a tribunal. And then the tribunal system, as you'll remember, was struck down by the Supreme Court in the Hamdan decision in 2006. So that was scuttled. He was charged under the new system that Congress created after Hamdan in 2006. But a military judge who was presiding over that trial said, you know what, I got to throw this out again because he has not been properly designated an unlawful enemy combatant, which is the only thing I can look at. So he chucked out the charges again, and then an appeals court, which was sort of hastily convened, told Judge Peter Brownback that, in fact, he could make that determination himself. And so here we are for the third bite at the apple.
The third bite. And there's something going on with Omar Khadr's lawyers, too. What's that?
He's got a Canadian lawyer who's actually been told he cannot attend the proceedings because of infighting between his defense counsel. The Canadian lawyer and the Pentagon-appointed lawyer have been mixing it up for some time now. The Canadian attorney is alleging that, my God, the Army's lawyer is a tax attorney. He has no criminal experience. He has no terrorism experience. He's never been in a trial. He was a tax attorney, and that he just is not fit to defend this case. He's not prepared. And so he's effectively in timeout right now. And needless to say, he thinks that his client is not going to get a robust defense.
A key point here is the very stature of enemy combatant. And where does that stand in this tribunal process? And how is it that the military thinks, okay, we've fixed whatever was wrong with us legally, we're going to go ahead?
Well, the 2006 Military Commission Act that Congress set up in the wake of Hamdan said that the tribunals can only try, quote, unlawful enemy combatants. What the judge, Judge Peter Brownback, said last summer was, well, but Khadr hasn't been determined to be an unlawful enemy combatant. As far as I can see, he's only been called an enemy combatant. And for Geneva Convention purposes, that distinction really matters. As I said, the appeals court has now told Judge Peter Brownback, no, you can't. In fact, make that determination yourself. And so presumably that's one of the things that's going to happen right now.
But these tribunals have not been able to actually go ahead and function. So you're observing this, reading about it. What do you think? Have they got something that might work this time?
Well, nobody seems very happy with it. It seems to be that there are so many problems, still so many issues. The whole defense question is one problem. The whole pending situation in the U.S. Supreme Court, the Supreme Court is about to hear a major, major case in which the detainees are asking for the right to challenge their detentions in U.S. courts. So that could scuttle things. It just appears as though each and every time these, you know, I've called them MIC tribunals before, Alex, because they sort of were set up on the fly and invent all sorts of new rules and procedures that really have not been tested before. And so they're just the possibility of things to go so wrong yet again. So am I hopeful? I don't even know if I'm hopeful that the tribunal goes forward because I think it's so flawed from the outset that having it go forward doesn't really solve any problems.
Dahlia Lithwick of Slate.com. Dahlia, thank you again.
It's always a pleasure.